One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Liberty Township, Ohio. I am headed your way Friday, February 16th and Saturday, February 17th. Winnipeg, my first time headed your way. I'll be there Friday, March 1st and Saturday, March 2nd. Omaha, we're going to do it this time. I promise you, last time we got our flights canceled. This time, we're taking a straight shot. I'll be there Friday, March 29th and Saturday, March 30th. Columbus, Ohio, I'm fired up to head your way. Never been there. My first time coming to your beautiful city. I'll be there Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th. Los Angeles, I'm excited to announce that I'm part of the Netflix Is a Joke Festival. I have my own show Sunday, May 12th at the Bourbon Room. You guys ask me, how come you're not on Netflix? Well, here's a chance to sell this thing out and show them why I should be. Get your tickets now. Don't wait. All tickets available at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I'm going to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you to everyone who listens. Thank you for everyone who watches. Please subscribe. And if you got to have more, then you got to check out our Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, and it is this show with y'all. And y'all take this show to a completely different level. It's the wildest show on Patreon. I will say that. And it's a cup of coffee. All right. Subscribe to it. And please, if you haven't already, watch The Way Back. It's my new podcast. It's right here on YouTube where you can get the Honeydew. It's free. All that good stuff. It's a really fun little podcast. It's like 20-minute episodes, 25-minute episodes with some of your favorite people and podcasting. All right. And if you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, I am telling you, and Feaster Nation will tell you, that the Crab Feast podcast is still one of the best comedy podcasts to put on and listen to. It's all the people you know and love in comedy with different stories than you're hearing on these shows. All right. So check that out as well. For tickets, go to RyanSickler.com. Come see me on tour if I'm in your town when you're around. All right. That is the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers, and I am very excited to have this guest on today. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, please welcome Shane Torres. Welcome to the Honeydew, Shane.
Thank you, man. Yeah. You still got it, baby. It's been a minute.
Trying, bro. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm still here.
Better with age.
This great Crab Feast episode right here to go listen to.
That was a while ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus.
Well, it's great to see you, brother.
It's good to see you, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And please, before we get into whatever we're going to get into, plug, promote everything and anything. All of it.
Okay. It's ShaneIsComedian.com. All tour dates there. I'm always on the road. Shane Torres across all social platforms. And then I have the podcast with Kyle Kinane called No Accounting for Taste, where we defend things people seem to shit on for no reason. So it's right in my wheelhouse. And then the big thing I'm here promoting is I got a new special coming out, The Blue-Eyed Mexican, produced by Burt and Leanne Kreischer. It'll be on YouTube December 10th. And that's the big thing. I need you guys to see
it. Well, let's talk about it for a second, because I love that you guys are doing this. I love that Tom and Burt are doing this for people. Like, it's so smart. I know Jeff Tate's going to have a special on Tom's, I believe.
One of those channels.
Yeah, one of those channels, I think. or at least that's the idea. And I think it's so smart because everyone that thinks you need an Amazon or a Netflix or a Hulu or you know, or even build your own YouTube, they're not wrong at all. But there's this whole thing where these guys have built an empire, this whole YMH thing. They've got over 1 million subscribers, and your special going on these channels, it's a direct shot to very specific diehard comedy fans. It doesn't go into a Hulu or an Amazon where, you know, 20% of the audience might be there for true crime.
And watching Res Dogs or whatever.
Right, kind of, or documentaries, like, or there's so many other things out there to see. So it's specific to comedy fans. It's also these podcasters. They're the best fans in the world. The diehard.
They love you, man. They're, like, they really
just
do.
Me.
I mean, like, they love you. Like, meaning that if you have one,
yep.
I hear from the same people every week, every Monday. I know people are listening to them.
They're the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So good for you. Congrats,
thanks, man.
On the special.
Yeah, Bert and Leanne are putting it out.
It'll be available where?
On YouTube, mine and Bert Kreisch's YouTube channel, as well as my YouTube channel. So Shane Torres. And it's December 10th, big day. I'm gearing up trying to. So, I mean, I think it'll already be out by the time this airs, mm-hmm. but please
but
check
go
it
watch
out.
It. Yeah, definitely go watch.
Yeah. Trying to, you know, I think I made something. I'm not the type to brag about my shit. I think I'm good. Whatever. But I am proud.
I was going to say.
I am proud of my piece of work.
It's okay.
I got very
proud.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And that's
you
like,
should be.
Yeah. So I'll put it up against anyone's. Like, I am proud of it. I'm not saying it, but it's good. Check it out. I think you'll like it. It's a little different.
So, all right.
Yeah. And we did it in a different space in a different kind of way. And it doesn't look like every special. There's like, it's not a big theater. It's kind of nice and tight. It was a small, cool room. And, Jeff Tomsic directed it, and Jordan Levy shot it. It's like, it looks great. It looks different. I think when people see it, they'll be like, this is a bit different than here's this giant act in this giant theater. Like, so I hope you like it. Hope, you know, like, come to it. I just need you to come to it. Well, you can tell I'm not great at plugging myself.
Yeah. Nobody likes this part.
Yeah.
Bert,
I think so.
Bert likes it.
Yeah.
This guy likes it.
He's good
Bert
at it.
Bert Kreischer, if you haven't thought of it, you should be selling mud flaps out there all over. Come on.
I'm going to text him and Leanne after
for real.
Yeah,
that should be.
Like, Sickler says, you think that's perfect?
I want 10% of your mud flap cut. Okay. I just want 10%
of
the mud flap.
Give me 10% of your mud flap.
Look at that! Would be great. Mud
it'd be
flaps.
Sick.
Truckers everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the new Yosemite Sam,
and he already
bro.
did the drive-in tour.
Yeah, great. Truckers around the country be like,
how much it cost? How much does it cost to make mud flaps?
I don't know, but Burke could figure it out.
Yeah, he figures everything out. That guy's smart. Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about you because I know what we're gonna get to. But before we get to that, a little bit about you, where you're from, parents, brothers, sisters, things like that.
Okay.
Growing up.
Like broad strokes, I'm from Fort Worth, Texas, South Side. But I haven't lived there in 20 years, so I guess I'm like from all over a little bit. And then, my mom was from Ireland. My dad was second generation Mexican American, maybe third, I don't know. And then I got two brothers, older and younger. I'm right in the middle, and we really couldn't be more different than one another.
All same parents?
Yeah. All same parents. They're very, it's interesting in this way of like, we all look exactly alike and not alike at all. Like they're both, like we have the same kind of face, but they're both like.
You all look like a distorted version of each
like,
other.
Yeah. A little bit like, they look like if you stare at me long enough, you'll see my older brother.
Yeah. Oh, there he is.
Yeah. But they both look like they have like much darker. They have like, they lean more towards the Mexican side. They have darker skin and darker eyes and darker hair.
This is the blue eyed. What is it called?
The blue eyed Mexican. Mexican. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We wanted something Googleable.
Yeah. For it. Can you speak Spanish?
No. Okay. I think it was my grandparents spoke it and I think my dad understood it, but it was that time. And I don't know if people really know this is like, there was a time where it was more important for people to assimilate if they were from another country than be like Latino openly in public. Like my grandparents never spoke Spanish in public. Like that was
is
like,
that right?
Yeah. Like, cause it was like, you want to be like them. You don't want to come here and like, they won't, It's Texas. It's the South. So it's a little different, I think. But it's like, it was one of these things like, no, we don't, we assimilate. We learn like, you know, like my great parents, you learn the language. You don't like that kind of shit. And it's
you
like,
speak
it's
English like, outside. Yeah, yeah. And, you whisper Spanish inside.
And it's true. So it's kind of like a detriment to me. I would love to learn how to speak Spanish. Yeah. I'd love to do like a Latino comedy jam and surprise everyone. But that'd be a good move for me. Yeah. Whole new market.
So what did your dad do?
I kind of wish I knew, but
is that right?
He was like,
was he absent father? Was he around?
He was there. No, like it's weird. So to be fair, it's like, he was there till we were like, I was like 11 or 12. And then he kind of like just couldn't get his shit together. And so I think my mom rode it as long as she could with him. And then was like, he's fucking up money. He's fucking up everything. He can't. He tried to be a salesman. He sold like roofing shit in Texas and like other things like that. But he just, I put it in my way of like, my father was a decent dude, but just could not meet his responsibilities as a man. And like short on money, short on, you know, like he just, he was that kind of dude. If he had $2, dude, he thought he had 50 and he spent like that. It's like a dangerous person to be. And he was, good guy, I love my dad, but like I have a lot of issues with that. Yeah, that shit. And he's he just couldn't do it. You know, like he was like, he wasn't you know when someone is just kind of seems like beaten, like they've lost, like they're not into trying anymore.
Just defeated.
Yeah, they've had their heart broken too many times. I think that was like kind of what my father, like he just never kind of found his footing in the world. Yeah. So it's kind of
So your mom took you guys then? She sort of get you away or he bounced?
They split. They did. They divorced. Okay. But like it wasn't like a dramatic thing. Like, well, I mean, it was, but it wasn't like we didn't take off in the middle of the night. It wasn't like a J-Lo movie or anything. You know, it wasn't enough or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. The other blue-eyed Mexican. I think she's Puerto Rican.
I was going to say.
But it was one of those things that like, and then he just never got it to fucking together. I don't like.
What do you mean never? Is he still alive?
No, they're both dead. Yeah.
They both are.
Yeah.
So.
Gunfight.
Who died last? Yeah, yeah. Who died last?
My mom through sheer tyranny of will.
Wait, so you say he never got it together. So like he leaves your life when he's around 12. Does he leave? Like, does he go out of Texas?
He goes. Or? No, he stays in Texas, but he's like. Not very this is like kind of heartbreaking, but I remember like he was just lost. Dude. Like my mom was lost. We were all like, I liken it to like we were all tethered to one another. Like our ship went down and we tied ourselves together so nobody floated away, but we're all still in the sea in the middle of the night. Like, and everybody is like looking for anything to hold on to. So he drifted out for a while and he was in and out. Like I would see him like, I can't really put a number on it, but I would say like sometimes twice a year and then sometimes like every other, you know, every month, you know, like.
And when you're seeing him, are you
It's very erratic is what it is. Like.
Are you going to his place? Is he coming by the house? Are you going to do things together?
Yeah, well, like there was like. This is one moment where like, I think I might have told this on the Crab Feast, but I'm not sure.
I don't remember that.
But we lost the house.
It got that bad.
Yeah. Like we lost the house, and then my dad was like, "I'm gonna go stay with my buddy for a bit, and then I'll figure it." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." You know,
how old would you say your dad is at this time, too? By the way, do you have kids young?
If I was, let's say I was 12 or 13, it's probably close to like late 40s, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Like and my mom were around the same age. I think it was like a year difference, but like, and he, so he was in and out and he would come by and they'd worked out like visitation stuff, you know, like, but it wasn't like if like you can't, it's not your day. Like it wasn't that kind of like, but it was more like, dude, you're not doing shit. You're not contributing in any fucking way. Like he was back on child support. He was back on all of this shit. Like he just, didn't have, he made a mess of everything. Like he told my mom he paid taxes one year.
and just didn't do
it. Yeah, I think he might have done it more than 1 year. You know, shit like that. You know, and like
my mom. That, like, do you remember having your house taken? Do you remember having to leave that home?
Yeah, it was. It's weird.
How old were you?
We were
roughly.
I think I was 13. Yeah.
Oh, so you're eighth grade.
Yeah, maybe 12 or 13. Yeah, no, we were. Yeah, we were enough to know. We're not losing any memories from that time, sadly. It would have been nice to be, too.
What are your parents telling you leading up to it?
They go, I kind of don't remember what they told us about the house, but I knew we were leaving. And to their credit, they never dogged each other out to us. Like, to their credit, even though they both had barrels pointed at one another. Like, I really don't, like, my mom never... Maybe once, you know, she'd say something like, "You're fucking fault," but like that was, but she never got into too many details about
right,
it. And my father never did that with my mom either. So like really, like maybe once or twice, I remember like snippy shit, not like details. But I knew we were losing the house because that was like, I remember that being like the point of the divorce, like the like one of the reasons. And you know, it was like weird because like there was always money problem. We were always, you know, like the phrase "we can't afford it" was like as common as "I love you" in my house, probably more so. You know, like
yeah,
we can't afford it. We can't afford it. Like, okay, I guess I'll just go outside. You know, like, and I remember like one time my mom was a night nurse, and my dad was like watching us. Or he was with us one night, and he goes, and we were like eating like some shitty dinner. Like soup and like, you know, like nothing anyone really looks forward to when they're 10. And he goes, you know, normally I'd get us hamburgers, but like your mom took the checkbook away from me. And I was like, that's fucking emasculating as shit, dude. Like, you know, like, and she should have, you know, like, but like, it's like also like,
you're taking the house away from us.
Yeah, the IRS is. Yeah, the city's taking the house. Mom's taking the checkbook. I got no hamburgers.
That's fucking terrible. Three kids, a wife, and he was gambling like that.
Yeah, and I know, like, I don't know what he couldn't do with money.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think he was a degenerate. Like, I just don't know if he ever figured it out, you know?
Why don't you know?
We just didn't. The family doesn't talk about that shit. Like, we just never did.
But
I mean, it's all died with them. You
right.
Know? Like,
but
yeah.
I'm saying, do you not know because you lost complete touch at a certain point and stopped seeing them? Or
no, we can't. Like, I made amends with my father.
You did?
Yeah. Like, later on in my late 20s before he died, we got to a place where I was like, you're all right, but you
can die now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can die. Just
fucking pull that shit out of the wall.
All right. I got one to beat it.
But he. Look at the old God pat on the back. Say out a pawpaw for me. He wasn't so, like, he wasn't a bad dude. He just couldn't do his shit. Like, and it's like, so he was out. And he coached our soccer teams when we were little. He liked that shit, you know, but like.
He bet on y'all? Did he?
No.
He probably did.
That's why we lost the house if he did. My fat little legs and no lateral movement. But he got out of the house and then like he was coming back around and then we kind of was in and out. And then I remember like he showed up one day in a in his car and was like filled. And I've told this somewhere. And his car was filled with shit. And I was like, what's going on? I guess you're moving, you know? And he had to move into a shelter.
No.
Yeah. So like, I mean, he really
Yeah.
And wow. he like nobody. I think it was one of these things that like my grandparents were still around at this time. And my
aunt, his parents?
Yeah. Okay. And my aunt was still around, his sister at this time. But, like, everybody was kind of tired of, like.
I was going to say, that's
tired of
tough
bailing.
Love right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like, and that's what it is. You know, like.
If you're going to a shelter, man, you got to take care. You got to love you.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is some people obviously need them. But if you're an able-bodied person who could really, and has a family, and you're a handyman, you get the fuck out there and make some money.
Yeah. He just didn't.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin?
Start your engine.
I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Like, it's weird. I just don't think he knew how to do it. So nobody was like, so I fucking moved my dad into a shelter.
You helped him?
Yeah. I think he was, he came by the, I think he was feel like, if I'm being candid, I think he was being very, feeling very sorry for himself. And I get it. Like, if I had to move into a homeless shelter, I don't think I'd be like,
I can't imagine my daughter having to move me into a homeless shelter.
Yeah. I was mad about it for years. You know,
did you visit him there?
Yeah.
So this is where,
once or twice I moved, like, I tell this in a bit in the story, so I won't go through all of it, but like the non-humor part of it is like, I think he was just like, nobody's fucking helping me anymore. I'm alone. You know, I think he was just scared and alone, you know, like, and I'm like,
but not scared enough to want to step up and do something.
I don't think he
it.
Knew. Yeah. I think he couldn't figure out how to feel everything at once, you know, like, so we give him the shelter. I mean, I still, every time I'm home, I still drive by that shelter. Like on purpose. Like, I don't have to see. I go, like, this is a fucking, be a worker. Like, you know, like, be a fucking worker. You know, it's right
Man,
there.
That's some fucking motivation.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's still there. Yeah. And those people are still, like, and we move them in there, and we get them in, and it's, like, it's a, his room is, like, not even the size of this.
I was going to say, describe. It's, so it's not this open.
No, it's not, like, there is, the way I recall it, and I hope I'm doing this right, it's over off Lancaster Ave in Fort Worth. And we go in, like, my dad goes, I'm supposed to ask for so-and-so. And the guy got the front door. Is that me? That's me. He goes, what are you looking for? My dad goes, I'm looking for a room. And he goes, there's a open cot, like, kind of like a GI hall or something, you know, like where soldiers would sleep. It just feels like everybody's in there. Your shit's under your bed. And then there were, like, smaller rooms upstairs. I think it's, like, three floors. And then you, like, what it was like, imagine if there was a, like, a bunch of plywood across the wall of this room here, and you were on one side of it and I was on the other, but I could throw, like, my, like, there was, like, a space because the ceiling was high.
Right.
So they basically just built
dividers.
Yeah. And he was in there, and he was like, I mean, we just went in there. I put all of it, went in there, put all of his shit in there. And he was, like, sorting stuff, and he goes, like, go down the car, grab some more shit. And I was like, all right. You know, and I didn't care. Like, I didn't feel, like, unsafe there. You know, like, that's like a, I was sad.
Yeah, well, you were leaving, bro. Yeah.
you were leaving. Huh? Yeah.
You were going
the fuck
home,
out of here.
Bro.
Yeah. Oh, God. Because anyway, we were all homeless.
Oh, man.
But I thought it was, like, that's, like, a misconception about those places. Like, there's, like, rough people in there, but most people are just, like, fucking down on their luck. And they've gotten, like, they haven't gotten good hands played to them. So I get in. I go in the car, grab stuff. And this is, I have a bunch of shit. And this guy, like, walks in the elevator. And he's, like, I'm by myself. And I'm, like, 12 or 13. And he goes, you're kind of young to be moving in here alone. And I was like, oh, no, I have a home. Like, I didn't hear, like, I said, like, shake my keys at him. It's got a yard. Yeah. But it was, like, one of these things that was, like, I didn't even mean it like that. Mm-hmm. But then my dad like called me a few months later and he like got out of the shelter and he moved in with that guy.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah. Like this is like, this is where it gets in the bit. But he moved in with that guy and another guy and he couldn't stay there long. Like it was wild, dude. Like that house. Like I was like,
you
the
would
shelter
him there?
Yeah. Because he got an apartment and like.
I just love that you're always going to see. You never wrote him off to the point where you're like, fuck it all together. Like, nah.
I'm too soft for it. Yeah. Yeah. Like in that space.
But your mom did. Your mom was strong enough to be like, I'm divorcing you. Got to get you out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and not like you'll never see these boys again.
Right.
Shit,
but you're
like,
not good on it.
You're not doing like,
yeah,
we're all drowning and you're putting your hands on our head, even though you're just panicking. Like, and that's like, so that's what she had to do. But like, I mean, I remember his apartment that he moved into after that. You remember the, in The Wire, the apartment's like the Flatland apartment. Like, it looked just like that, dude.
Jesus.
Like, yeah, like, it just run down as shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't like The Wire. You know what I mean? But it was like, it was poor. Nobody had money. Everybody, you know, like, this was like, all right, people are paying $200 a month to live here. Let's just try and keep the needles off the ground. So, kid, like that, yeah, or whatever kind of shit it was. You know, it wasn't like violent, but it was like not nice. Like, it was like shitty and run down and poor, is what I would say. And then eventually he got out of there. And this is where it gets all weird. He married my mom was an Irish nurse. And he meets this woman, my dad kind of gets this gender, and she was a Scotch-Irish nurse. So he's like, got it. Like, yeah, he goes straight 1A to 1B.
He's got
yeah,
a type,
yeah, like,
bro.
Like,
he's
like,
got
yeah,
a type,
like, man. Like, yeah, like, Michael's not feeling it tonight. Give the ball to Scotty. And that woman lives 3 blocks from where my mom got us. Yeah, I swear to God, dude. My brother's. One lives in my mom's house and one lives in the house my dad had. Like, they're both, yeah, I swear to, like, they're 2 blocks from one another.
And that he definitely met this woman after?
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah.
Are you serious? That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. I think my dad was like, well, this was the closest it came to working. Let's try it again. And then that marriage.
And did it work?
They died married, I think. But I think
they.
It was.
They died together?
No. Like, oh, I mean, like they.
Gotcha.
But I think their marriage was like one of these things of like, you're not in good health. I'm not in good health. We liked each other at first. And now it's just kind of been in this place of like, well, let's see each other through. Like, we'll each call someone. We'll call the hospital. Like, it wasn't. They slept in different rooms. You know, like, yeah, that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I think I was like maybe 23 or 20. Yeah, around 22, 23. Like, I just turned, like, into the age where I was drinking and boozing a lot. And I lived back with him in that house for a few months. And
what was that like?
Betsy, my stepmom, she was a nice lady, but, man, she was fucking, like, just a weird. She's just a character. Like, could not have been sweeter, but just be like. I remember one time I was like, we were trying to get to this place where, like, I want to know about your health, Dad. Like, we were trying to get back there, you know? And they go in and. I was like, take care of yourself. We were trying to get there. And he goes, okay. He goes, you want to come to my doctor's appointment with me? And I go, yeah, yeah. No. He goes, Bessie's coming too. And I go, okay. And then we're sitting in there. And then she just goes, so Simon, your sugars, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, and the doctor goes, any other questions? And Bessie goes, yeah, he's shooting blanks right now. So, like, and I was just, I was like, oh, I don't need to know everything. Like, that's the kind of woman she was, dude. And I swear to God, I was like, I'm fucking moving out of this house. This is worse than the shelter. It was brutal. And dog, and when he died, he had a stroke, and I had to fly back to Oregon, and it was from Oregon. It was like a whole fucking thing. It was brutal, and it was like days long, and everybody was like fighting about what to do because he was like incapacitated, and no one was gonna. He wasn't coming back. Like, the doctor was just like kind of like. If he'll live, but it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just on a machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty
not
much.
Not a person.
And then, so he was there and they moved him to hospice and they asked me to sign the paperwork because there was something missing. And I wasn't like, it was like my stepmom or my aunt were the two. And my mom was there too. Like, they got past it. Like, she helped because she was a nurse. But I was the only one there, and the guy came up to me. He was like, "Hey, we need you to sign this paperwork." So when he and I was like, "Ah, fucking, I couldn't do it." Like, I let it go. Like, for all the shit, all the baggage I had with him, because we went in out. I remember I called my mom freaking out, and she was like, don't sign that fucking paper. Like, you're not going to forgive yourself. And then I was there with my grandmother, and I can't remember who else was there. I think my little brother and maybe my niece. And I really can't remember. But I remember my grandma was there, and he went, you know, and like, it was just such a fucking bummer. We all go home, and the next day my stepmother calls me, and she goes, hey, your dad, you know, like, wasn't good with money. I got to go take care of this stuff at the bank. Will you drive me over there? It's like, yeah, I'll come get you right now. We're like, we'll plan the funeral, and like, we'll do all this stuff. We go in the bank, and the greeter at the bank goes, how are we doing today? And the best, he just goes, I'm okay. My husband died yesterday, and just walked right by her. And I was like looking at her.
He ain't shooting blanks anymore. Yeah. It's just
the greeter goes, what? She goes, oh, I'm doing all right. My husband died yesterday. She just walked straight up, like, I need to talk to someone. And he fucking, like, I mean, they were in such debt and everything when he went. It was like such a fucking mess. But like, so that was it. Like, he like just couldn't do it. Like, I got there with him. Like, we figured it out. But I had like real fucking animosity. Letting us fucking twist in the wind for all the year. Yeah.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said, yep. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, I can cancel it with a tap. I never have to get on the phone with customer service. They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple of months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/honeydew. That's rocketmoney.com/honeydew. rocketmoney.com/honeydew. According to the CDC, fewer men than women meet the minimum daily intake recommendations for fruits and vegetables, and men are more likely to overvalue exercise and undervalue nutrition. Enter Ritual, a multivitamin scientifically developed for men to fill nutrient gaps in their diets. You've heard me mention on this podcast plenty of times how hard it is to eat right, especially when you're touring, running around. I've been using Ritual for years. Don't go get that trash at the drugstore or the grocery store. It's garbage. It's sawdust on those shelves, all right? Ritual is rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products, and their multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp and made traceable. Essential for Men is a quality multivitamin from a company you can actually trust. Get 20% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/honeydew. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/honeydew for 20% off. Now, let's get back to the do.
And you were close. You have brothers, right? And mm-hmm. you were like close to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your dad died when you were younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you need that. I worry about that a lot in this way of like, you need somebody there to like kind of walk you through it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not easy, you know, like just figuring it out on your own. And we were young enough and we all got in scrapes and messes and all that kind of stuff. Like, and we're fine. I think like we're decent, but it's like, dude, my little nephew, like, he doesn't have any women in his life. His mom's passed on. My mom's gone. Like, I wonder what it's going to be like for him. Like, he's the sweetest kid in the world, and he's 12 now, you know. But I wonder what it's going to be like for him. Like, he needs to be around women to know how to be around women, you know, like, a little bit. And, like, be, like, and he's a good kid. I don't think he's going to be a weirdo. Like, he just has good nature to him. But it's one of these things. He's like, how do we, like, I did that, like, my mom, I think, like, she, you know, she kind of taught me how to be a man in a lot, the best way she could, but I wonder, like, how someone's going to, like, my nephew's going to have that kind of, like, foresight and learn how to, like, treat people and be, like, when he doesn't have a lot of women in his life, and it's, like, it's not his fault, and it's not wrong, my brothers are doing a good job with him, but it's, like, one of these things, it's, like, you need to know. Like, you need this role model there. You need somebody. Yeah. You need somebody to show you, like, this is how we, like, I can't teach you everything because I don't know everything. I need other people around. And so that was, like, that was his thing. He just, like, my dad was trying, like, I think he liked doing the little kid stuff, like soccer games and that kind of shit. But I don't think he liked, you know, when it gets, everybody gets a little older and hairier and you start taking longer showers and shit. I don't think he was ready for that. Yeah.
So what was mom like?
She's my hero. So yeah. So she was an immigrant. She was from Ireland. She came here to be a nurse, I think 60s, maybe 70s. Like hard work, like that kind of like really hard worker. Night shift, like labor and delivery and women's health, like it was important. That was like a big marker of her personality. To be, she was proud of being a nurse, you know, like, so, like, very proud of it. Massive depression issues. So, like, I think I remember one time we talked about it after, like, we were up for. I was like asking her all these questions about like the day after my dad died. I was like up with her. We were just having a drink and I was like, well, you know, I asked her everything. Like, I was like, he's dying. I want to know this stuff. And I was like, did he ever cheat on you? And she goes, not that I'm aware of, which kind of is an answer that makes me think like maybe, but not, you know, like that kind of shit. And, but my mom had like massive depression issues. So like she was in a haze for like 5 years after like the divorce.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like worked her ass off and always loved us, you know, but like my brothers were getting like wild shit and trouble. And she's like, to be fair to my brother, like anytime they got caught, like they both got expelled and they did all this stuff. So like anytime they got caught with something, my mom was from a village of like 200 people in Ireland. So like if somebody had pot, It was like Jesus, Mary, and like my it's eternal damnation Catholic kind of shit. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't want to say she overreacted, but I don't think she made it easy on people when they fucked up. So like, but she just like, she worked so fucking hard,
man. What'd she do?
She was a nurse. Yeah. Yeah.
Just nurse only. I mean, was she doing night jobs too?
No. Like it was weird. Like she would work the night shift because my older brother got kicked out. And, you know, like, and then it was like, and then I think my younger brother was like, if I remember correctly, was like staying with my dad for a bit, or maybe my, like, it was just like shit. Like they were at
always,
I was
easier
to, I was, yeah. And I was easier to get along with. Like I didn't get in much trouble with consequence, you know, but my brothers were fairly wild. I think they had a reputation. So
did she ever remarry or have a boyfriend or anything?
She dated
like
one
that?
Guy for like three dates and she was like, I'm not doing this shit again.
Oh, ever. You guys, yeah, like you didn't chase him away.
She was like, fuck. I wanted her to. Like yeah. Made me sad. Like I don't think because I remember one time I was like, do you ever want to do that? You know, like as I got a little older and she goes, it's just not worth the trouble to me. And I was like, and it made me so fucking sad, dude. Like, because she was great. Like, so I thought she deserved to be with somebody.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing her and my dad had in common more than anything. They both had their hearts broken so many times that they just couldn't fucking do it anymore. You know, like, yeah, it fucked her up real good and proper. Like, and then, so she would work night shift. And that's like when it started getting pretty, like, it wasn't wild. Like,
what's night shift? Is it overnight?
7 p to 7 a.
Like, okay, you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Then. And like, and to her credit, she was like, look, this is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and to her credit,
there's three of you too.
Yeah, yeah. And like, yeah. And like, and it was like, she just goes like, this is the way it is. And like, you know, like more than once she'd be like, there's other moms in this situation who don't have a job as good as mine. Like she was like, you know, like it's a very Irish mentality to be grateful for what you got, even if it's not a lot, you know, like, so she like, she'd fucking do the night shift, bring in babies every night, you know, like, and we would like, That's when you like, and that's like a rough, like we're 14. That's the house you can go to and get fucked up at night, you know, like if she's gone, you know. And a couple times, like, she came home from work early and it was like a fucking Armageddon, dude. It was so scary.
She goes crazy.
Oh, she was like, get the fuck out of my. She was like, just, and then like, I remember one time my brother like was like, why are you doing, like, I couldn't believe he was standing up. I was like, you're wrong. Like,
yeah, you're wrong.
What, just fucking take the L, you know? But I mean, she just, I think she was going through so much, and she would see like us like smoking pot or drinking beers was like, I'm doing all of this to keep a roof over our heads. There's a fucking massive amount of debt on the roster. Like, we may not be able to keep this.
Credit's bike. Probably
yeah,
fucked.
Yeah, shit like that, dude. Like, yeah. Bankrupt, like, you know, like she had to borrow money from people to get straight. And like, because to her credit, like, my dad fucked us. We lost the house on Country Manor. Then my mom found a really rundown house two blocks away. And she was like, I got to get money together to get this like down payment on this house. Like, she went to my dad's parents. They gave her a cash loan.
Hold up.
Yeah.
You guys went from the nice house two blocks away to the
It's like,
shittier house.
Yeah.
And you had to drive by that house all the time.
Too. Yeah. It's my elementary school still on that street.
Oh.
I don't, do you ever say, have people say shit in here and you're like, oh, that is a big deal. Like,
to fucking drive by my dad where Happy used to live.
Yeah, dude. That sucks.
I mean, I relate in the sense that when my mother left our family, she didn't leave the state or anything. She went like a mile and a half away.
It's insane. You can see them at the grocery store.
That's what I say all the time. We're running into you at the store.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Like, if you're going to fucking leave, commit and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. But this is.
It's Maryland, not Texas.
But it's a toe in the pool kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, they're half in.
Mm-hmm.
And.
So, wow, you're driving by your old house every day. All the time, and your poor mom's got to borrow money from the man who put you all in this
situation. Or his parents.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Borrow money from the man's who his
folks,
kid put you in this situation. Yeah.
And he fucking, and I remember, like, I didn't know how we got in the house. Like, and I didn't think about it because I was 12. I was like, I guess this is where we live now, or we're renting it, you know? And it was a fucking dump. And, like, she rebuilt, she did all of it. She got it back together. She was like, but like, I remember, like, my grandparents weren't really in either. Like, that, you know, we weren't seeing anybody. Like, we were just kind of like, my mom was like taking care of all of us. I think there was a thing of like, my grandparents and my aunt were like, well, you know, he's our son. He's my brother. We have to side with him. But this is, they didn't give her the money. She got the money from them to pay it back. And,
I'm sure there's no child support or anything.
She was like, she told me once, and I don't know why I remember this number. She goes, I'm asking for $100 a month for each of you. So 300, like, you know.
$25 a week.
Yeah, and he was like, and he fucking was not hitting it some months. Like, yeah.
That's $8 a pop for
the kids. This is Struthers kind of shit, like cup of coffee a day shit. But he didn't have it. He couldn't figure it. Yeah, like, it just took a beat. And so, like.
And it's not like, here's the
thing.
There
was no support for her outside of, like.
Yeah. And
outside of like other Irish nurses she worked with,
and any support she's watching decline. He's going from homes to homeless shelter to, you know.
Yeah. And like,
it's like, you know,
and he
no
came back through. He got through it eventually to where he got to a no, not really, but like he had his moments where he kind of would get back on the bike. But
yeah, but for himself.
Yeah.
He's not helping your mom. He's not helping his family.
No, like. I mean, he got there a little bit, but it was like he married that woman. That's kind of how he was helping us through her shit.
Bring somebody else.
Do this again.
That's it.
Don't let her know the route. Like, we're going to run the Cincinnati dice game on her one more time. But so there's no support there. And we didn't know. You know, we were like fucking just had hair under our armpits. Like, what are we supposed to do? You know, like, I want to go see bands. I want to be this kind of person. And she just, there was no money for it. And I remember, like, one time I went to see my grandparents, and I hadn't seen them in fucking, like, it felt like years. And they, like, my dad was, like, back in the picture for a bit at this. And I go over, and they're like, how are you? You're getting so big and all this stuff. And in my head, I was like, well, fucking, you might notice that if, like, you'd been around. Like, fuck y'all. Like, And I love my grandparents, but like, there was this thing of like, well, you come to us, you're our grandkids, you're supposed to be obedient, which is like, there's a logic to that. But like, the whole world's falling apart and it's not easy for me to get a ride an hour away to come, you know, like, they put a lot of responsibility on us that I don't really think was fair for being kids.
Well, I mean, if they're not going to put the same responsibility on their own son, then why put it on kids?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a grown-ass man right there. Yeah. Like, we got to side with him. Do
yeah.
you?
Yeah. I do mean, you? They love him. It's just what love does to you. You know, like, you never really abandon your kids, no matter how much they fuck up, you know? But I went over there. I have a vivid memory of this, man. I went over there, and it was, like, not tense, like nobody was mad, and you know, like, and I didn't know really how to feel when I was going in there, and they were like, it's good. My grandmother was a sweet woman, but I think she might have been fairly it's not a good word to use, but like, obedient to what my grandfather wanted. And like, we're there and they go, we have how are you? And I was like, everything, you know, mom's okay, blah blah blah, and they're catching up, and he comes out and he has a Crown Royal bag, but there's not a bottle in it, and he goes, hey, your mother gave me all this stuff. And I guess she didn't have the money to pay him on the schedule she wanted. It's just all this, like family rings and stuff from she brought over, from, like, jewelry. And she was like, you can give this back to her. I don't need this stuff. And I was like, you fucking give it back to, like, I don't, like, there was, like, this, like, thing of, like, I don't know why I need to be the messenger in this shit at all. Because I'm 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not saying I'm too young to do that, but it is one of these things of, like, you're making this way more dramatic than it needs to be. And all this woman is trying to do is, like, you know, like, give you, like, this is worth money. I don't have cash right now. This is a brooch from my from her mom. Like, there's
because
something
of here. Your son.
Yeah, yeah, like, this kind
it's
of shit.
Because of your son.
And I'm fucking, like, dealing this shit. And I'm like,
yeah, it's tough.
And then I have to go give my mom the bag. And I'm like, hey, grandpa gave me this, you know. And he's like, and that guy had no skills either. Like, he knew how to be a hard worker, but he's like, fucking, he lied about his age to go to World War II because his house was so bad growing up. So, like,
damn.
Yeah. Like,
think about that.
Yeah. Like, so that's the kind of thing, you know, like, they don't have skills. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think I'll have kids at this point. Like, I'm a little.
How old are you?
I'm 42. But when did you have your little girl?
41.
Yeah.
40, 41.
It's over.
41, yeah. It's not over.
Yeah. Maybe I will, but.
Do you want them?
I want them with the right person. I don't just want them. Like, sure. Like, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they didn't. My dad didn't have certain skills, and my grandfather didn't have certain skills. Like, and he was like, but I don't think, like, I don't think my grandfather took the belt to my dad as much as his dad took it to him. And, like, the ship is going in the right direction in some ways, and it's a generational change a lot of the time with, like, that kind of shit. So, you know, I think I might be able to do some of the things that they were bad at, if I had a kid, that they were really bad at, better than them. But that's because of the mistakes they made. Like, I learned from those too. So they don't have it. They just could never nail that shit. Like, they just didn't have the. No one taught them how to do it, and they didn't know what to do with it, so they just pushed it down, or like, and I have, like, a lot of that. Sometimes I don't want to think about a problem anymore. I don't need it solved. I just need to not. I need it. I don't need to know why I'm doing it, mm-hmm. or why I have these problems anymore. Sometimes I'm just so
sometimes
beat up by it. I, yeah. Like, I'm exhausted by it. I'm like.
Sometimes you don't know
why. Can it just stop
why,
hurting? I don't have to fix it, but can it just stop hurting?
You don't need to know why everything happens.
Yeah. It's a fucking beating.
So tell me about your mom. You said both your parents are gone. What happened to your mom?
It was 5-6 years ago. Give me a second. I was home. I was working a club in Fort Worth. I took the gig because it was her birthday week.
She still lived in Fort Worth?
Yeah. So I came home, work a club, and I took the gig just to work the weekend, like, and be close to, like, to be close to her on her birthday. We do it. It goes great. Like, we go to dinner. And I remember I took her to this place called Ellerby's on Magnolia because she became a nurse. She eventually went back and got a nurse practitionership, which was more money. And, like, to celebrate, like, she was like, I'm not cooking Christmas dinner this year, but let's go to a nice dinner. She took us to this place, and it was really great. You know, like, so I took her there. years later for like a birthday. Nice. Yeah. And I remember she's like, you sure you don't want to stay at the house? I was like, nah, it's like the hotel is close. I don't have to commute and all this stuff. And she goes, okay. And she drops me off the hotel. I go to the shows and I'm doing shows all weekend. And I'm like, I'll spend Sunday with you, you know, like Saturday. And like Saturday night in between shows, and my brother tells me, hey, mom's not doing good. She's like, I'm taking her to the hospital. And I was like, all right. Like, let me know. Like, I'm at work. I'll come wherever, you know. And he goes, she's back at home. She's doing okay. And I was like, cool. And then, so I go to sleep that night. I had like too many drinks that night. And next morning, I just woke up with like emails, just like, not emails, text, just like fucking mom's at the hospital. Like, get your ass here. So I fucking bolt over to the hospital that she was at. And my brothers are there. And we're like, what's going on? She had something with her stomach. And
this is just out of nowhere?
Yeah. My mom was like in relatively good health for a woman her age. You know, right? She wasn't too heavy. She wasn't none of that shit. You know, like pretty solid.
This isn't some decline.
No, she'd had like a stomach surgery before, mm-hmm. but it was like not a fucking emergency. You know, like, and we're all like, okay. And we go in there and we're like, we're telling her we love her and all this kind of shit. And we're like, the doctor seemed calm. So I don't remember a sense of urgency from the very get-go. And she went in. We said, she was Catholic. I am not Catholic. We do the Our Father, that kind of thing. She goes in. Doctor comes out and it's like, she made it through. Everything's good. Like, got it. No issues. And I was like, we're like, fucking thank
what
God.
Was it? Got it. What did
it was like, she had a hardening of her intestine, if I remember correctly. So, like, she wasn't digesting. So, I think that was causing blockages.
I see.
And so they had to remove part of it and then, like, sew it back up, I think, is if I have it right. But it was something with her stomach, something like that. And fucking, they go, we're going to keep her in this area for a little bit. Then we're going to move her upstairs. Then she'll be, like, she's going to come out of anesthesia. And we're like, great. And then we can, like, get her home, and we just got to be around to, like, you know, give her a fucking, it's like, see her through this. And I was like, right. And I remember, man, she just fucking, and this was in a hospital, like, she'd worked in and, like, delivered babies in. And, she just wasn't coming out of it the way they want. Like, she was, there was some consciousness, but more or less, she's like fairly comatose. Like, and this went on for like a month.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because her birthday was on the 7th. She went in on the 10th. And then she died on the 20th of January. So, like, we were like fighting, sorry, man. Dude. Like,
so
like her,
she never really came out of the anesthesia completely.
Yeah,
is
like
that
not
what
completely,
it was?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Never
like,
became
just
herself
like,
again.
Yeah, like it was like she talked a little bit, you know, but like, and there's times where it like seemed like she was doing good, and the fucking peaks and valleys of it were like.
And what do they explain that?
Well, I'm like yelling at doctors. I'm like, well, what the fuck? Like, tell us something. And they're like, we don't know. They have like a virologist, like all these different kinds of doctors coming through. And I remember like making a plan of like, it's because one doctor would be like, well, we don't think it's like, you know, we don't think it's intestinal anymore. And we're like, okay. And so they'd be like, maybe there's a bag. Like, and it was always one of these things. And we're like, and they kept going, well, we have to see what the next person says. So I was like, well, one of you needs to fucking say something. This is insane. And I remember, like, I bought a bunch of different colored post-it notes because it was so confusing. I couldn't keep it all in my head and be like, all right, blue is what we're going to ask this doctor. Green is what we're going to ask this doctor. And, like, so on and so on. I was like, and I just put it up on the wall. And then it was like, I don't know if it was a good, it made me feel like I was doing something in a, like, moving in the right direction. And that was a really big peace of mind for me because, like, we couldn't stay at the hospital for, like, for a little bit, we had to stay in the waiting room or something like that. And then they had to like, she just wasn't fucking waking up, man. It was awful. And like her friends, this is like one of the only times I fucking laughed this whole month. All of her friends were Irish, English, and Scottish nurses. Like they all, when Fort Worth was becoming a bigger city, they recruited medical professionals from the UK.
Oh, is that right?
Like, that's like, that's why some of them are there. Not okay. all of them, but like sure. some of them. So like all of these Irish, English, and Scottish women came over, young nurses, met these Texas guys, all married, all their husbands died before. They came to this country together and they're all leaving together. They've all put their husbands in the ground. And like they came in and they were all like fucking. And I think my mom was like maybe the first one of them to go. And they were all like crying and like, you know, like that. But it fucking, they were also all like, my mom was like lifeless in bed. They were all bickering over my mom's like, my mom's more or less in a vegetative state. And they're like, that's not how that happened, Carmel. Like they're just going back and forth. Fucking one of my mom's best friends lit a cigarette inside.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, she goes, and they're like looking at her. She goes, well, I worked here when we sold them. Like, like she's just like, they're too old to give a fuck. Their husbands are dead. Nobody's going to tell them anything. They mm-hmm. can, you know? And it was like, it was kind of like, there was some continuity in seeing them like still be there for each other at the end of this. And they weren't all close anymore. And it wasn't all roses, but they did
so
love each other.
What was the cause of death? What did they
fought, like complications of surgery, bullshit. Like, but she fucking,
that's just it. Like,
they were like, she was old. And like, I mean, like my brother, like got a lawyer and was like, we're not just letting you say like she was old, you know, like, and I mean, that's what it was. Like she did. It was like her body gave out. Like it was time, you know, like it was too much.
How old was she?
72 or 73. It was, I think it was too intensive a surgery
to come back from.
Yeah. And she like, she was in and out. I remember like the fucking,
ugh.
The last thing she ever said to me was like, I'll never work again, which, yeah, that the last thing I remember her saying to me,
man.
Truly, yeah. So, and then like we moved, like, I remember I had to like, I wasn't supposed to be gone from New York for a month, you know, like I was supposed to be like working. So I was in Texas, like flying, moving all these flights around, trying and canceling all these tour dates. My shout out to my old agent, TJ. He found me he put me in every club in Texas he could that was within a 2-hour flight. Like, cause he thought we thought she was going to recover and I would just have to be coming home a lot. But she was like going. I was like, all right, it was like, I don't know, like maybe the second weekend of the year. I was like, I have to go make money. I flew up to Portland to do the gigs. Then I was going to fly to New York because my lease was up. So I had to move into my new apartment. And then I was like, I'll come back a couple of days. So I'd do the weekend, get a little break from freaking out about all this stuff, just work, work, work. And then I fly to New York. As soon as I land, my brother goes, you got to call me right now. And I go, what's up? And he goes, the doctors want to do like a call. Like mom's brain is gone. Like she's not coming out of it. And like, I go, okay, we jump on the call. I red eye to New York, get in, move all of my shit out of my apartment into my new apartment, take a call with them. They're like, she's not going to come out of this. Like, and they're like, you need to get here. So then I jump on a flight, fly down to Texas that night. We go, like, she's in hospice, and I don't know if hospice is exactly what it was, but it was like, we get in, and then, she went like, 5 or 6 hours later.
She did.
Yeah.
You were there?
Yeah.
That's nice. At least you got to be there for that. Would you rather you weren't there?
No. I mean, I wish I never saw it.
Yeah.
But
you actually did go in the room.
Yeah, we set it out. Yeah. It's weird because like we were in there and we were like, it's grim. So you know you're talking and laughing and you're doing like whatever you can. Like we're like, this sucks. And my brothers and I are in there. And then the nurse comes in. I'm like, I don't want to be morbid, but like, how long does this take? You know, like, and they go, it can be days. You know, like, I saw people have party in here last week, you know? And then she went and they just like, you kind of see the moment. Like, because like, she would like move like kind of like, and then you just see it come and it's like, fuck, exhausting.
It's brutal, dude. You're making me fucking have flashbacks now. I remember when, and I'm sorry you had to deal with that. I remember I stayed home. My grandmother had a heart attack in front of us, and I stayed back with the paramedics and fire department and police to give the report while my brother rode in the ambulance with her to go to the hospital, and she didn't make it. And when we get to the hospital, they tell us that we can come back and see her.
Yeah.
But we know the last time I saw her, she was alive. She wasn't doing well, but she had collapsed in front of me but was alive, and I'm giving her CPR.
That's your father's mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was like our mom. Our mom split from the family.
Yeah, she did the rearing. Yeah.
And now we got to go back and see her. And I just remember, it's just, you know, it's personal to you.
Yeah. And it's a weight, you know, like.
It's a personal to you. But also they're in a hospital where they deal with this shit all day long. And she's on a gurney with a sheet over her. I'll never forget. I don't know why they did this. It was up to her neck like this, so her head's out. But they left the fucking mouthpiece in her mouth where they would do the CPR. The compression. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I'm like,
what the fuck?
It just looks cold.
Yeah.
And it's like an apple stuffed in my grandmother's mouth. Like, I felt like that, like, you fucking piece prick. Of shit.
Yeah, like.
And you're telling us to come back and see this? Like, yeah. Whoops, we left it. Yeah. Fuck off.
I had a, you're so, and it's a human mistake. Like,
it is.
And it's fucking careless and stupid and shitty. But I'm like, you're so mad about that shit, so too. Mad. Like.
Because also, especially if you're young, how are you going to do that to my grandma and disrespect my grandma?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Go fuck
you. Still want to protect this person and they're gone. They're not even there.
And my fucking brothers and I, like, we almost muscled out. My mom was Catholic and we need to bring somebody in for last rites. Mm-hmm. And we bring this priest in and he like comes in and he does this thing. I remember he says this shit. He goes, because, you know, she was like in and out of, mostly out of consciousness, just like laying there, but like was responding very rarely, ever so often. And this priest comes in and he goes, Kate, what I need you to do now is like, I'm father so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. He goes, what I need you to do now is think of all the sins you may have committed. And all that. And I like right then I was like, this motherfucker, like all she did was bring babies into this world. The thing you guys give the biggest fuck about.
And when they're about 8, 9 years old, you fuck them.
Yeah.
You fuck them.
And in this building, like, you know, like. And he's just being a priest. Like, he's
also, she's dying. Don't put negative thoughts in her goddamn head.
Think about all the
head.
Things she did in this place.
Guilt and carryover.
Yeah, it's like,
the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then my brother and I were like, looking at him, and he wrapped it up fucking quick. like, because it was like, what he said is like, he's just doing the thing he's told to do the way he's supposed to do it. It's his fucking indoctrinated bullshit. And I know he doesn't mean it like, oh, you were a bad person. Like, but it's like, hey, fucking pull your head out of your ass for a moment. Like,
yeah,
like,
absolve
this fucking dick. Like, and he left, and we were like, you know, like, I was like, fuck this guy forever. Fuck this church for, like, already that way, but like, and it was a human mistake on his part. It's the same thing as the mouthpiece. Like, he's saying it and he's not thinking about, like, it's routine to him for something, but it's also like, fuck you, dude. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
Go into the good on this. Like, so, but I mean, and I was also so mad that whole month.
Right.
Like,
that's what it is. Your anger,
like,
and rage.
And I was like, I mean, if I wasn't staying at the hospital, like in the waiting room, if it was one of my brother's shifts, I would like go straight. I had to leave, I'd go straight to the gym and I'd go run for like and lift. And then in this shitty part of town, and there was this dumb fucking bar called Yups, and I would go drink at that bar. And then I would like go home and do it. Like, dude, that was like my. I remember I was like clocking in. I'd leave the hospital, clock out, go to the gym, run, clock in, go to the bar. Like, you know, like, and like, I'm sure there was other shit in there that I do not remember, you know?
Well, how do you celebrate your mom now? You have pictures of her around your home?
I have a
memento.
I got. With that.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah.
And then I have a couple of letters she wrote. So
to you or?
Yeah, like I have one. So when I moved to Oregon, like I was fucking really broke at points and like doing the whole thing, like out of money, like just scrapping by however I could. And I had to call her and ask for money one time and it was a fucking. And she goes, I get paid on Friday. Like, I'll send you some money on, you know, like, it'll be there soon, you know? And I was like, okay. And I remember it was like, she was like, I'm gonna give you $200. And I was like, that'll get me through. Like, I can do it. I just got to like buckle down. And she fucking, she mailed me the money. And she goes, the note was like, here's 180. I had to pull 20 out for gas. And I was like, it's fine. You know, like, and I could tell she felt bad. And then she gave me her, her wedding ring. She didn't know what to do with it. Like, one sec. I just want to say, like, come or something right now so I can break this up. I can't. I'm like, this is not my shit. Like, who's gay? Or what are you like?
Who's gay?
Oh, dude. I had to get that. I couldn't. I still have the letter.
You still have the ring?
Yeah.
You do.
I didn't sell it. Got close a couple of times, but yeah, it's still got it locked up. But, you know, she was just like, I could never figure out what to do with this ring, you know, like, she's, I'll never wear it again. And I didn't want to like give it away or, you know, like, and she goes, and then she just wrote, she's like, the best thing it can do for me is give you a little peace of mind. So sell it if you need to sell it or whatever. So, and it seems weird because like she doesn't want it anymore, you know?
Oh, she doesn't have it.
Yeah. But she also didn't want it, you know, like, and I still couldn't sell it. So I don't
know. It's her ring, right?
Yeah. Like, it's her wedding band. She wore it. Yeah.
Yeah. It touched her body.
Yeah.
Make a necklace out of it.
I knew someone that, I mean, I don't know.
Give it to your daughter.
Yeah.
You got time, bro. Yeah. You got time.
But I didn't, I couldn't ever really quite figure what to do with it. So I have the ring and like a couple other things.
Don't sell it.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now,
from a dude that tried to sell an engagement ring back, bro, it ain't worth it. Just keep it.
We just decided it's not big enough. It. Like, she's just like, we want to go fancy.
He'll be like, I had to take 20 out for gas. Dude, Shane Torres, thank you for coming on here,
man. That was heavy. Episode. That was good, man.
I appreciate
you.
On,
let, yeah, thank you for everything.
Thank you for
everything.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Please. One more time, plug him. Wait. I'm going to ask you a question first that I always ask everyone's first time, and then we're going to plug and promote everything again. After everything we've talked about now, advice you would give to 16-year-old Shane Torres?
Oh, man. Punk rock will save your life. And be clean. Girls like that.
Like, that's like, good advice.
Yeah, because boys are so fucking gross with it. And then if you work hard and you make a plan, everything's gonna be all right. But you have to do both of those things. That's what I tell myself. Yeah.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great advice. All right, plug and promote everything again, please.
The Blue Eyed Mexican on YouTube. That is December 10th on Bert Kreischer's YouTube channel, as well as Shane Torres's YouTube channel. ShaneIsAComedian.com for all my tour dates, and Shane Torres on Instagram. I'm everywhere. If I'm not coming to your town, I'm probably not more than an hour away. I'm on the road a lot, so come see it. And it's a whole new hour that I'm doing now, so it's not what you'll see on the special when you watch it. So you'll have another barrel of laughs. And oh my god, this is like, you should call this thing Trauma Brigade. Dude, I fucking steeled myself up today before. I was like, you're not going to fucking.
You know, they're punching the heavy bags. No,
yeah, dude. I'm like, I'm not, you know, god damn it, man. You're good at this. You're very good.
You listened. All I did was ask questions. Yeah, you were the one that did everything. God, you did the heavy lifting, bro.
Yeah. This was great, man. I really, really appreciate you having me. And like, sincerely, it's nice to see how well all this is going. Like, I knew things were on the up for you when I ran into you in Tampa before. Like, yeah, I knew the podcast was doing well. And like the stand, but like, I mean, Tampa was fucking packed, dude. Like,
it was.
Yeah. Like, it was awesome. It was very cool to see. Like, You know, like
it was nice
because you fucking like. I mean,
I was surprised,
dude. Like, well, you churn like and churn.
Sold out three of them, and I think we missed the other one by like 20 tickets.
Yeah,
or something.
I got the last one. I was like, if that was the light one,
yeah, that was
then
the light one.
Then your wallet was packed all weekend, dude. Bruh. Like, yeah, you had it.
Thank
yeah.
you, Tampa.
Yeah,
come see me on tour at RyanSickler.com.
Chicken nuggets line killed me. That's the one I remember. That's the one
thank
I remember.
You,
yeah,
bro, thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you, man.
As always, Ryan Sickler, all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.